Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. With your hosts, Bo Spearham and Karina Hogan.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I begin, I'd like to first acknowledge the traditional owners on the lands on which we are broadcasting this show from this morning. I'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of those of where you're taking this broadcast from. I'd also like to acknowledge elders past, present and emerging, and acknowledge the impact that they've had on laying the grounds for where we are today. This morning on Let's Talk, on the 12th, 2020, we've got lots to talk about. Bo, good morning.
Good morning.
I might start by turning your microphone on. What do you reckon? Good morning, Bo.
Good morning, sis.
How was your weekend?
It was good.
Happy
was
Monday.
Good. Yes, happy Monday.
Got up to lots, did
Almost
you?
Almost the year wrapped up in one.
So we've had Christmas party after Christmas party. You went out on Friday night, I saw. Which means that Jade and I now have a ticket to go out while you look after the kids, yeah?
Oh, that was Sunday.
Oh, that was Sunday.
So then I got another ticket.
Oh, because she came over my house yesterday. Yes. We had a little weaving session yesterday, and Bo's partner, Jade, my cousin, came over and we did some weaving at our place, which was really deadly. But Bo went out Friday night. So we agreed yesterday that because they went out Friday night, this Friday night there's this deadly band named Ancient Bloods playing at QPAC. So Jade and I are going to go out and Bo can stay home with the kids.
Nobody told me anything about that. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm letting you know now. No, it was deadly, but this Friday night, Ancient Bloods are playing at QPAC on the green, and we're really lucky to have some of the members of that band, or a member of that band, and someone else who's part of that band as well in the studio today. So we're going to be yarning with them a little bit later, but there's lots happening in the news, Bo. Did you catch much last week? Obviously, there was lots happening on your country, Gomeroi country.
Yes, there's always going down back home on country as well. So last Thursday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, in Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, Canberra, obviously here.
There are a few other smaller places as well, were there?
No, mainly just Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Canberra and Melbourne. There was some protests held in response to Environmental Minister's Suzanne Ley's decision and approval of Santos, who in the first stages of the Narrabri gas project will be putting down 850 gas wells.
That's just in the first phase. And we spoke first with Annie Polly Cutmore, who's an amazing elder, and Gwenda Stanley as well last week, who spoke about that being just the first phases. You know, and when you look at the overall plan that was proposed earlier than that, was much bigger,
The Narrabri gas project is a 20-year project. And I was yarning to Nathan Leslie as well, another Gomeroi fellow. He does a lot on country. Him and those other fellows were saying like that, you know, Gomeroi country is earmarked for 50 years and the next 50 years. And he was saying that like of mining, but he was mentioning that about 90% of the Gomeroi country there's the intention to do mining there as well.
It's worrying, and that Gamel Means No campaign has really taken off. So lots of mob got together in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Canberra. Mm-hmm. There were mob down at the Ten Embassy, and we spoke to Annie Polly straight out of the embassy. And they particularly got together there because they were sitting in Parliament last week. So something else happened in Parliament last week on Thursday.
Same day.
Yes, Lydia Thorpe. Victoria's first Indigenous representative to the Senate did her maiden speech. Did you get to catch that, Bo?
No, because I was working here.
Yes, of course. Well, I've only got to have a bit of a sneak peek, but I want to play a little bit for you, Mob, just to give you a bit of a reminder of what Lydia said while she was...
also, after the speech and later that day, she came and was a part of the rally in Canberra as well.
Only Polly was saying. And shout they were both saying, you know, how they felt when they were in the Senate listening to the speech because they were up there.
Yeah, they got invited in, yeah.
Yeah. So here's a little bit of Lydia Thorpe, the Victoria's first Indigenous representative, to the Senate, giving her maiden speech last Thursday.
To heal this land, we must address the inequality and injustice faced by Aboriginal people. Black Lives Matter needs to be more than a trending hashtag. It must be a reckoning, a line in the sand, a call to action. To those whose skin colour affords them greater safety and justice, it's time to stop looking away from systemic racism and stand with us and say no more. For an Aboriginal girl raised in poverty and public housing who left school at 14, the idea that I could make it all the way to this nation's parliament was laughable. People like me were not meant to end up in places like this. Our voices were silenced, sidelined and written out of the story of our own country. But I never gave up believing that better days were possible. I come from a long line of strong black women who taught me to stand up for what's right and never let injustice and racism beat you down. If you want change, you have to fight for it. I've been a human rights, climate and forest. And in 2017, I was honoured to be the first Aboriginal woman elected to the Victorian Parliament. I've fought my whole life for those without a voice. My promise to the people of Victoria is I will continue to fight for you. And I will never forget where I come from.
Oh, and that was Lydia Thorpe.
Mm.
And Victoria's first Indigenous representative to the Senate. And things that she called for there was she called for a treaty to pave the way for an end to injustices experienced by First Nations people. She spoke about, you know, the need to not look away, Bo. Mm. It's interesting, hey, because, you know, there's all this debate around should we have a voice to Parliament? I know that there are a lot of mob out there that have different ideas around what that means and what that looks like. I think seeing
she's
her...
one of them.
Yeah, well, she is, isn't she?
Very vocal about that as well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's an interesting debate. As in she thinks that there should be a voice to Parliament?
Or no, she's against it.
She's against it, yes. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, and that's just an interesting debate within itself, right, because she's in Parliament and she has, quote-unquote, a voice to Parliament. So I, you know, and I just think it's just so powerful to have an Indigenous woman in there who is so strong and staunch when it comes to issues affecting mob, like the Jaffa Ranches.
I think she's one of three. Her, Malandiri, and Linda Burney.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's growing.
Mm. Mm.
The presence is growing. What do you think is going to come out of it?
Out of?
Them being in, being part of the Senate.
Well, I know she, well, like the other two, I think they mainly play party politics and then also they play to sort of... what sort of in the news and stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't think Lydia's like that. I think she'll just sort of, you know, come out and say it or push, you know, what she wants to push as well. And I think that was one of one of her strong points in when she was running in Victoria, in the Victorian Senate as well. Like, you know, she wanted to sort of, you know, not her agenda, but, you know, the agenda of sort of, you know, Gunai Kurnai people or, you know, black followers in general down that way as well. So like she's very and not to say that, you know, these other mob aren't staunch. They've been, you know, in the Senate for quite some time now as well, so they know how it sort of works as well.
And I suppose to some degree, I mean, when they work for a certain party, they've got to toe party lines, which can be worrying too, because it's like, are they actually going to make meaningful changes or are they going to sit on their hands and just pander to what the party expect, you know?
But that's something that's the hard thing.
There's a lot of pressure on them, Bo.
Yes.
Like she's copped a lot of criticisms from every which way, right? But I think for me, what I love so much about Lydia is her passionate call for addressing issues such as disadvantage and discrimination within within Australia, within various systems. And she is quite specific about pinpointing exactly what it is that, that can be done to try and change that. So, you know, look, I'm excited to see what she can do, and we'll have her on again really soon to yarn a little bit about where she's at. I know she's an incredibly busy lady, but it's a busy time in news, in the news space, just generally for Aboriginal and Torres Strait people.
Oh, sorry. And just after, you know, all the borders have opened as well, so her family could make the speech down, mom and her sisters and her children. And then I think she just flew back to Victoria as well. So I'm guessing, like, she's pretty stoked just to be back home, and I'm sure on her way to country as well. So now it's good because, you know, like she mentioned at the beginning of her speech, you know, she grew up in Housing Commission, and, you know, she has a very, very active family. Her sister is in is with the Aboriginal Resistance in Victoria. Her uncle and her mum and her grandmother have been active since like the 70s and the 60s and the 50s as well. So, you know, you can really sort of see how, you know, what influences her. And she mentioned as well, you know, she comes from a long line of, you know, strong black women as well.
Yeah. Well, today we've got a pretty exciting show for everyone listening in today. We've got some amazing young people in the studio. We're old now. We're officially probably old, I reckon, especially when you think about blackfellas.
I'm younger.
Yeah, yeah.
You're old.
Well, when you think about blackfellas, 50% of us are under 25, right?
I am not.
How you? No, brother. No, see them? No, Gavin. You probably can't see, but he's got these little grey hairs coming through slowly.
Wisdom.
Well, we've got some amazing young Aboriginal and Torres Strait, Aboriginal women in the studio today to talk to us about what it is that they're doing, the amazing work that they're doing in the space of arts. They're called the Ancient Bloods, and they're a First Nations group who have come out of DigiYouth Arts, which is an organisation that I strongly support and have been part of and in some capacity in the past with the amazing Alethea Beetson, who has just handed the reins over. We have in the studios with us today Emily Coleman and Michaela Stubbs. Good morning, ladies.
Morning.
We might get started by getting you guys to tell us who your mob is and where you're from. We'll start with you, Michaela.
So I am a Darug woman, which is Blue Mountains area down in New South Wales.
Awesome. I grew up there.
Oh, cool as.
I lived in Katoomba. My mom still lives there. Very beautiful part of the country. Very, very beautiful.
Yeah, it is. I've got to visit it a few times. So it's very beautiful.
I've never been to the Blue Mountains. What's it like?
Mountains.
Really? It actually is.
When you do catch the train, the train's the best way to see it all because, like, yeah,
pretty much
on the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just, like, yeah, it's real beautiful. There's some swimming holes around there as well.
Wow. And Emily?
Hello. I am a Bundjalung Gadigal woman, but I grew up on a Dungidow country, which is also known as Kilcoy, which makes up part of the Jinnabara Nation. So I grew up not too far from here. But we're pretty close, our mobs.
Yeah. Neighbours.
Yeah.
Neighbours. Not down. And so you guys are a First Nations musical project, you could say, almost, right? But you're a bit different from, you know, your typical band that's kind of come together. You guys grew out of something a bit different. Now, Michaela, you're part of the Ancient Bloods, which is a musical band, and Emily, you head up artistic director, new artistic director to DigiYouth Arts. So tell us first how your band was, your band came about, Michaela.
So it started from a different project called Unsettled, and they basically created a band out of that, and they got to produce their own album over a 2-year period. And then at the beginning of last year, the DigiYouth Arts started another project called Where We Stand, and they kind of got a new iteration of the Ancient Blood. So it was all new band members, and we, over the past 2 years, have created our own album, also called Where We Stand, and we're very excited to debut it this Friday. So,
I can't wait for it.
Neither can I.
We're gonna come along.
Cool,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, Bo's gonna stay home and look after my kids. I think
yeah, yeah.
Dropping my kids off and my niece and and two other kids, and then you got your two kids. You're right with that, brother? Yeah. I'm just trying to get some recorded confirmation here from Bo, so that when Jade and I come, that it's all down on recording.
But I didn't say yes.
Oh, by the end of the show, you will. No. Good ways. But Emily, tell us what your role is at DigiYouth Arts. You now are the new head. I mean, Alethea's been doing it now for, what, 10 years?
Yeah,
8 years, rather. Yeah. Yeah. For a long time, Michaela. You probably were in nappies at that time, right? I'm just kidding. Okay, tell us about, you've taken over this new role because DigiYouth Arts essentially is centred around youth, and I love Alethea because for a range of reasons, but she... Her job and her mission is to pave the way for young black fellas. Yeah. And God, she does a good job of it. And she's handed over the baton to you.
Yeah.
What a responsibility.
Oh, I feel very honored. And like you said, like, I wouldn't be able to do it without her having paved that way for me. And she does it for all the young mob that are part of DigiYouth Arts. So it's some really big shoes to fill. Because she's so amazing, but I'm very, very excited to be able to be in this role. We've actually been kind of building towards it over the last couple months, where I was associate artistic director, and then Alethea has been kind of mentoring me and showing me the ropes and how to kind of lead, I guess, an Indigenous youth arts organization. But part of the job is hanging out with the young ones mostly.
Which I'm sure you've already done.
Yeah.
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 So are you excited for the new role?
Yeah, I am. Nervous but very excited.
Do you have like goals and things that you want to sort of fulfill with the group, or are you sort of just going along and taking a moment to sort of step back and see what Alethea's done and then sort of take over from there?
I think a little bit of both. We want to go international. We want private jets. We want skyscrapers for DigiYouth Arts. But I think, just actually taking a moment to kind of reflect and figure out. Because at the end of the day, our youth artists are at the centre of everything we do. So if they're like, nah, we don't want a jet, we're like, okay, cool. We won't do that.
At the same time, it'd be like, oh, yeah, I want a jet, Michaela.
I don't think many will say no to a jet, to be
honest. And imagine a mad jet with Dylan, because you guys use Dylan Mooney a lot, Dylan Mooney mural right up the side of it. That'd be the deadliest plane getting around, I reckon.
We're going to make it happen.
I want to listen to one of your songs, Ancestors, but I want to know the name Ancient Bloods. Yeah, where did it come from, Ancient Bloods? And then a bit about the song.
I think it was the last crew kind of sitting around together and figuring it out. Mm. Like that was pre Michaela and I.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So I think that it was just a matter of the group coming together and figuring out exactly what they wanted to do.
Because like the role of DigiYouth Arts is multifaceted as well.
Yeah.
That, you know, the young followers do as well. For our listeners, could you sort of just let us know, you know, what, you know, DigiYouth Arts cover with the young people involved?
So we work across almost all art forms. Again, it is always informed by our young people and what they want to do. So we work across visual art, music, theatre. We're doing a little bit more dance now, but we create work that tell the stories of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I love one thing that I love about DigiYouth Arts is the stories are sort of like not what you may expect, right?
Yeah.
It's like often I think you turn on the television, especially with mainstream news, and a lot of the stories always come from that deficit mode, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like that negativity, and it's always got that kind of poverty porn feel to it. But when you tune into stuff that DigiYouth Arts are doing, it's always you obviously confront those really important issues and speak about those really important issues, but it always comes from a strength-based approach. It's that unique way of sort of looking at things. Yeah. I love it. Now, this one song that I really love from you guys is called Ancestors. Can you tell me a little bit about the song Ancestors?
So I wasn't actually involved in the writing process of this one, so I got a little bit thrown under the bus here. I know they
you got this
the whole album was kind of just put together in the hopes of just letting people understand our culture and our knowledge and stuff, and I think the point of Ancestor was kind of just to let people know that we're still here as a people, and we're still like we're learning what we can and doing what we can to learn everything about our own culture, and we're really excited to like let people know in these creative outlets So Ancestors is one of my favorites too. So.
And I found. Oh, sorry. What were you?
I was going to say, Will, the songwriter. He was one of the songwriters on the track. I remember him telling me that he built the track around the beat around his breath.
Yeah.
And he wanted to have like the essence of breath in there, because we carry our ancestors kind of inside of us everywhere we go. And so when we're breathing, we're literally breathing their story and their truth. So I know that he wanted to build the beat and the kind of base of the track around that concept.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We're going to play a little bit of the song in just a moment.
Also, just really quickly, one of our guests who came on quite a few times, his daughter's in the song.
Yes, Nadia.
Friends.
Nadia.
Friend Nami's daughter. Yes.
Shout out to Nadia. And you guys are going to be on the Drive program tomorrow with Nadia performing. So if you're listening in, make sure you tune in tomorrow afternoon for the Drive program. And have a listen in for these mob who are going to be doing a little bit of a performance. Here's a little bit of your song that I wanted to play, Ancestor, for you guys to listen to here on 989 FM.
Overgrown like a mosaic of time before and moments that have flown.
While you quivering and slither in the shadow of a ghost,
I'll be fighting, I'll be riding through the dreams of the unknown.
I'm a metamorphic hieroglyph, a forest nip with poison, spit forbidden fruit that Adam bit. The power of a serpent's kiss, a young man and an ancient kid, a billion years alleged. This body that my blood is in, people that I'm carrying, I'm riding on the river, babe. Smoking bottle of worship days into the night that fills my veins, a flame of which my bones are made. Riding on the river, babe. Smoking bottle of worship days and moves inside my blood to make the serpent in me
cool.
Stuff, it ain't yours, it ain't yours, it ain't yours. Young Uncle Rico on a world tour. My ancestors come forth so that I can provide more. The cold wind blows, open the door. They still snore, they still snore. What's next? What would they change or for? All I know is they need a wake up call.
That's a deadly song, sis. That's amazing. Tell us a little bit about that song, Emily.
About Ancestor?
Yes. Oh, you just did tell us about that. No. I got a little bit distracted there because I was going to play the return and the ad, but I didn't. And I was busy there talking about whatever. But anyway.
It happens.
On to the next. What I really wanted to talk to you guys about is what's happening next. So you guys have got this amazing album launch that's happening this Friday night for the album Where We Stand. And I feel like you guys are going to be a little bit of a hot number. Should we get autographs and photos now so that you don't forget about us? Tell us about Where We Stand, the concept, where it came, how you came up with it, and what's happening.
The album specifically, or like the big project?
Yeah,
bit of both.
Bit of both.
You take the album. I'll take the album. yeah, so I kind of said a little bit earlier. We kind of just wanted to create songs that meant a lot to us and kind of faced political, gave our political views and our cultural views and kind of what we learnt in the process of writing all of these different songs. So Where We Stand is a cultivation of all of our own different stories, and we had a lot of fun writing them and creating together. So yeah, I think that's about it.
You're doing great.
cultivating.
What means most to you?
Yeah.
What means most to me? My family means a lot. So like I learned a bit about my culture while creating this album and where I studied. So like being able to put it all together in what I learnt and learning about my family was really good. So that meant a lot to me.
So it's a bit of a process. It's not just you kind of sit down, pen a song out and then play it. Like there's a real process.
I remember like the first time we all got together, we had this big yarning session about like what we could write about and different ways we could write everything. That was a good day.
Yeah.
It was a long day, but it was so fun.
I think what's interesting about Alethea and working with her in the past is process is so hugely important to her. And I respect that so much, because within the process, there's this almost like learning that comes with it, right?
Yeah.
We did a play called The Truth Is, and it was basically about a group of blackfellas from Logan Woodridge area, and it was about when the time when, I don't know if you remember, there were quote unquote mainstream media were calling it race wars. You know, they love that little term. When everyone was sort of being slumped into this basket. Well, they came out with this story called The Truth Is, and it was basically about each character sort of telling their truth. You know, the truth is you might slap these labels on me, but the actual truth is that I'm bright, I'm intelligent, I have all these amazing things ahead of me, and all those things that I suppose society, you know, pathologizes you to be is not actually true. It's all just, it's all this layered makeup crap, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And so that's why I loved that particular play, because it took these young people from Woodridge and it gave them the opportunity to stand up and go, well, actually, I'm going to tell my story.
Yeah.
So while, you know, old love over here is standing in front of the camera putting a show on for Channel 10, Channel 7 or whatever it might be, the reality is and the truth is that this is who we are, you know. And so through that process, all these kids, they developed this sense of pride, this sense of, you know, inspiration. Yeah. And I just, yeah. And so I feel like the process of that, I think, is incredibly important. If you've just joined us here on Let's Talk, we're yarning with Michaela Stubbs and Emily Coleman. Emily Coleman is the new Artistic Director of Digi Youth Arts, taking over from former Digi Youth Arts Artistic Director Alethea Beetson, who's now become
the lead Artistic Director. Yep.
And Michaela Stubbs is part of the band Ancient Blood, who are releasing their album this Friday night called Where We Stand. And just on the other side of the break, I want to ask a little bit about what it's like to perform and then I want to hear a little bit about the new song that you guys have got. So we'll be back just in a second after we play this ad.
Hey, you mob. Does your bub have their birth certificate? Deadly Choices has teamed up with the registry to provide Jarjums aged up to 5 years with a limited edition NRL-branded birth certificate package. Your child must be Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, born in Queensland, 5 years or younger, and up to date with their 715 health check and vaccinations. All you have to do is head down to your local participating AMS and ask for an application form from reception. You can either return the form to the clinic or mail it to the address detailed on the form. The registry will arrange to post your Deadly Choices birth certificate and legal birth certificate to you. For more information about our birth certificates, visit www.deadlychoices.com.au.
A message from the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health.
Station sponsor.
And you're back on Let's Talk as well. So like we said coming up before, we are going to play this track as well. But I guess before we get into that as well, this year's been massive. I think everything that could possibly hit somebody, hit and landed, the bushfires kicked off. And as blackfellas, we really feel for community, when they're taking it tough and get hit. And then not long after that, we get Invasion Day, which is sort of like a month, 2 month process that's sort of dealing with and getting over. And then out of nowhere, like this pandemic hits as well. And not just that, like it hits us, but it hits everybody else in this world. I think, if anything, I think our mob sort of, in some ways, handled or bounced back a bit more, a bit better. You know, we're always a bit more resilient when it comes to sort of being under the pump.
I think within also that as well, don't you think that also COVID, and we've spoken about this, kind of highlighted some of the gaps in society? Like it really shone a light on some of the dysfunction of Western society in particular.
Mm-hmm. The
health system. And there's almost like this revival almost, and this want to sort of bring back Aboriginal knowledge and Aboriginal culture. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something that I've felt.
Well, let's hope, local, state, federal, and also Commonwealth governments do, roll with that process, because we did speak to Stephen last week and he said, he's still yet to hear, any sort of confirmation and support in regards to traditional fire burning. We spoke to Stephen last week.
Victor Stephenson. Stephenson. Usually I get the names wrong. Mm. Yes. Wonderful.
How was the process, a creative process through COVID, for you fellas? Did you spend the time writing new music or, because for most people, I guess people were doing it tough, people losing jobs as well, people had to sort of isolate due to sort of health conditions as well. What was it like for DUI?
It was a little, I feel like it was a little different for us because we all kind of like... this year's been interesting in the fact that we were meant to launch the album 6 months in, and due to COVID we couldn't actually do that, so we're like a full 6 months behind everything. But I feel like because of that we were able to make the songs better than what they could have been as well.
Take the time with it.
We really got to take our time with it, and we were able to create a few extra tracks, I believe. We spent our time writing and just making the songs better, and when we finally got to record them, we were able to get it done like real quick, mainly because of the time we had, but also because like we were so just prepared to do so excited to finally just get it done that we were able to just get it done real quick.
Well, I want to hear this song. Tell us about I Stand Tall, Michaela.
So I Stand Tall is the one I wrote for the band, and I wrote this way back in the beginning. I think it was in like the first two times we met up with the band, I wrote it. And I essentially, like, it's the first original I'd ever written, and I wanted to write something from a different point of view. So it's actually... it's actually from the point of view of a tree. So
a tree,
kind of like what a tree had seen throughout the years. Yeah, it's a bit weird, but I just wanted to like try something different. So yeah, it's about a tree going through the centuries, essentially, since white man came to Australia. So
Here it goes. We'll talk a little bit more about it on the other side of this song. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM.
Damage you inflict below, pulling the roots from where they
that. I love that. That was Ancient Bloods singing I Stand Tall. Michaela, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Really darling.
And as you said, that was sort of sung about a tree, essentially.
Yeah.
But there's so many metaphoric sides to that, right? And you know what it made me think of? It made me think of the Juparung trees down in Victoria that mm-hmm. were sadly lost, mm-hmm. which was a grandmother tree. Tell us about, I know that you released it around direction that time. Tree. Yeah, the Direction Tree.
Direction Tree, yeah.
Right, right. Tell us a bit about, a bit more about the song.
It was interesting when I wrote it because, yeah, I hadn't written a song before and, like, it was hard trying to create my own song because I just, like, I didn't know what to write about. But when we had gotten together to do this process of, like, what we can write about and how we can write about it, we kind of just got to the point where we were just, like, we could write it from different perspectives and we're just like, we could write it from animals and we can write it from other different people's point of views and we can write it from plants and stuff. And I was like, I'm going to write a song about a tree. It just kind of like stuck out to me and I was like, a tree sounds really good. So I just kind of was like, yeah, let's do the tree because that's all that came to my head. And I was trying to think like, if I wrote it about a tree, like what part would I do it about? And I was like, I kind of want to do one where it's come from before white man came to Australia to like a point now and seeing how the world had changed and how it had grown in some ways but also become worse in other ways. And so that was like, I was originally going to do it where there wasn't a chorus in it because I had struggled to, like, figure out what to put for a chorus. And I was like, you don't have to put a chorus for it. And I was like, cool, I'm just going to leave it as this. And then we added a friend was writing, like, we were got to a point where we were like, it kind of needs something extra. And so we put the chorus in and I was like, I really like the fact that it says I stand tall because it's not just about trees in the chorus. It's like everyone, especially people with our culture, because we are learning to stand tall in our heritage and in our culture and for what is right. So, yeah, I think that's, yeah.
How old are you, Michaela?
I'm 19.
She's 19, everyone. It's just, it's so lovely for me to sit across from you guys and see the fruits of so much work and dedication that's gone into, you know, making this work. And Digi Youth Arts, it's so much more than, you know, just a band or just, you know, a song. It's like, this is like a whole bunch of knowledge, a whole bunch of, you know, people experience. Getting together, experience, spirit, knowledge. Like it's all kind of coming together. It's almost like the perfect storm for what I would want to listen to and be part of, right? Emily, what's next for Digi Youth Arts?
Next year we have a few exciting projects. They're still kind of in the planning stage at the moment, but every year I think we're trying to kind of build the group of people that we work with and who we bring into our projects. But I think one of the most exciting things is next year we're going to be doing a really consistent work with some kids that are living in out-of-home care based on the South Side. And that's continuing a relationship that we've had with some of those kids for a few years now. But we're going to, yeah, make some really cool art with them, maybe make some music with them. We're just keen to hear what they want to do. So
that's amazing. Yeah. Well, my niece was part of the truth is, you know, she's in the care system. I have to let her know.
Yes.
Well, not anymore. I hate but saying still. That because it's always that labely thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and once you slap that label on someone, it's like, oh, for God's sakes, like, you know, people just have these ideas of what, you know, what it means to be in care and so on and so forth. And that's another reason I love Digi Youth Arts. You can't half tell that I'm a bit of a fan, can you? Can you tell? Can you tell?
Not at all.
A little bit of a fan, just a little bit. But that's the thing with the label thing, you know, that people sort of slap these ideas and these and almost project their own issues onto these young people and without actually stopping and going, hey, what do you want this to be about or who are you? You know, allowing them to define their own identities, you know. I can't wait for Friday night. I think it's going to be amazing. Do you have like a favourite song on the track? Of where we stand.
Oh, Phoenix. I love Phoenix. It's such a good song. And Lockie, who's the writer of it, was like, he had this song written before he joined the band, but like
when Lockie we Beaton? Actually, is it?
No, Lockie Little.
Lockie Little. Oh,
okay. Yeah,
that's so
no.
funny. Lockie Beaton. Oh, sorry. He's going to laugh. He's going to laugh.
he's so, yeah, like, I love Lockie. He's such an interesting person. Getting to know him has been so fun. But, like, Phoenix is such an interesting song. It's got, like, three tempo changes and, like, the reason behind it, like, the story behind it, which you'll hear on Friday if you come, is, like, it's an interesting story. But, yeah, that's my favorite.
Tell us a bit about the story.
Like, he had a dream. I can't remember the whole thing. But like, yeah, he had this dream, and it was, he was doing something, and then this.
And you turned it into this amazing song.
Yeah, it's so, like, the song is so good, and I do, like, some epic vocals in there.
The vocals are phenomenal.
Yeah, the vocals are so good. So, yeah.
Well,
Arnie's on my timeline.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Can we please just take a second to talk about Arnie's on my timeline? Because Alethea sent it to me, and I lost it. Like, it is hilarious because I can so relate to it.
Yep.
So let's just to explain to mob that are listening that don't know what it is. Arnie's on my timeline is literally about aunties on the Facebook timeline. I love it because my mum and my auntie sis, who have also done a play with Digi Youth Arts actually called Aunties Talking, are exactly the same. Like, she'd get on there and she'll have this big post and, you know, asking me, oh, bub, can you come pick me up from, you know, from my house and I'll have the scones ready for you. I love you, bubba. Yes. And it becomes their status or something.
Yes. And everyone is tagged in it.
Yeah. Or they don't tag anyone in it. So and they put a poster. Happy birthday, beautiful, you know, Alex or whatever and no tag. And so underneath you go and you put the tag on. But I love it because, In one of the plays that we did do, I remember we were talking about aunties, and in one line I was talking about my cousin and comparing him to me, and I was like, you know, so many people look at me and my cousin and he's so much darker than I am, but they always think that he's like the real Aboriginal, quote unquote real Aboriginal. And I was like, I've made just as many cuppers for aunties as he has, so why is it that he gets to be called, you know, more Aboriginal than me, you know, whatever. But
the auntie test.
The auntie test.
Runs.
Yeah. So if you're listening, make sure you jump onto YouTube and check out that Auntie's Talking. But another song that I want that we're about to play before we leave is Where We Stand.
Yep.
Tell us a bit about that.
So Where We Stand was written by Nadia, who will be in here tomorrow, and she sat down with the band's music mentor, Luke Daniel Peacock.
Shout out to DYA Dad Luke.
Again, same as Michaela with I Stand Tall, in the really early stages of the songwriting workshop process. And the Where We Stand project is all about responding to country and literally where we stand and how the land kind of informs who we are and it holds our stories. So Where We Stand is all about saying this is our land and this is where we are. And it's a really, it's really beautiful. You'll hear it. Nads kills it. It's so good.
Nadia is the daughter of Fred Leone, who's part of Impossible Odds, and he's been writing some amazing music as well, Bo, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. We got to go to the recording studio and have a little bit of a sneak peek of him working with an orchestra. Music.
Oh wow!
I love his song with birds.
Yeah,
how good is that?
Yeah, from Looky Looky Here Comes Cookie.
I love that song.
Yeah, he recorded with him, and also Mau Pau as well.
Yeah. Well, it's been so exciting chatting with both of you and getting a little bit of an insight into what's happening with Digi Youth Arts. If you're listening out there, you can jump on the Facebook page Digi Youth Arts to get updates on things that are happening constantly throughout the week, throughout the day. If you're in Brisbane, then pop down to South Bank, which is near Victoria Bridge there on Grey Street. Yeah, near ABC Studios, kind of QPAC on the lawn there. You can bring kids, so it's an all-ages thing. Will it be streamed? I know a lot of your stuff has been streamed online.
We're working on it.
Streamed,
yeah.
Well, so jump on the Facebook page. Jump on the Facebook page because I reckon there'll be stuff up there about it. And if you've enjoyed this program, you can listen to it again, the repeat, tonight at 7 p.m. Or you can jump on to 989fm.com.au, where we will have the podcast uploaded. I'm sure you guys will share it on your Facebook page as well.
Yes, we will.
Have a listen in. I think that, Michaela, you're extraordinary. You're 19 and you're doing such an amazing job. And I just want to say a massive congratulations to you, Emily, for becoming the new Digi Youth Arts Artistic Director.
Thank you.
And how exciting.
Far out.
And thank you so much for coming in and sharing a little bit about your album launch that's happening this Friday. It's called Where We Stand. We're going to take you out with this song, Where We Stand, here on 98.9 FM's Let's Talk. Well, not just quite yet. See, I just told you. Let's try that again here on 98.9 FM. Let's Talk.